Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Busy week. Busy week, but good overall.
Yes. Oh, my. It's been so busy. This is one of those episodes where it's like, we didn't play anything. So
I know.
What are we going to talk about? Oh, I don't know. Let's talk about this game we played in beta a couple weeks ago, and this and technically another game that's in beta, and a really cool free-to-play iOS game. And it's just one of those weeks. Bear with us, folks. It might be a slightly shorter show, but
that's okay, week, though, because we're actually going right from the episode into game night, so... Mm-hmm. Short show might be good, because that means we have more time in one of the things that both of us have actually had a chance to dive in and play, and that is Overwatch. So, Ryan.
What?
How do you like Overwatch?
Actually, it's funny enough, I haven't touched it since we played the beta, the stress test beta.
Oh.
And really, I've been living vicariously through everybody else, because I was out of... So, a couple things. I purchased the game from an external site, so I don't have my key to get in early access open beta. But obviously, I'm in the open beta like everybody else now, so that's good. And also I was out of town, so I wouldn't have even been able to play early access beta. So I'm not upset this time. But I am excited because I did just finish listening to Joss vs. the World, which I don't think we mentioned on the show, Jocelyn.
I don't think we did either.
You gotta pimp it. Are you waiting for me to like give you the curtsy? Like, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's talk about it, because it's
Overwatch. I completely forget sometimes.
You forget that. Like, what did I do for the last 2 days? Oh right, I was being productive.
Yeah. So for those of you who aren't aware, I have launched a new show called Joss Versus the World, and the whole idea basically is it's like a hybrid stream and podcast. Mm-hmm. So we do a stream somewhere between an hour and two long, and then go and do a podcast, kind of like a 20 to 30 minute roundup of tips and tricks for new players. And the whole idea is that we're looking at PvP games. So basically any game where you are going in and playing against another person. It could be multiplayer, it could be single player. Like, I have some plans for some Hearthstone stuff, some Smite stuff. But so far we've done Heroes, and this week was Overwatch. So it's me every week, and then I have a different co-host. So I pull in a just somebody who's familiar with the game, competitive at the game, to give me an idea of what to do when you first jump into a new title. Because I heard a lot of people saying, basically, oh, I don't want to go in, I only play against AI, it's really intimidating to play against other people, the communities are toxic, or blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to make a show being like, well, if I can do it, you can do it. And it's really not that bad, and here's some easy ways to get into some of these titles. So yeah, this week we did Overwatch. It was a lot of fun. We played four of the kind of, not necessarily beginner heroes, but easier to jump right into and play heroes that don't necessarily, you know, require a lot of aim or have a very easy to understand, like, set of abilities. So we played two support heroes, one tank hero, and a damage dealer. So kind of tried to get the full spectrum in. So, yeah, it was, I really, really like Overwatch. I'm not good at first-person shooters, but I feel like I'm at least half decent at Overwatch, because there are so many different roles to play. It's not just shoot, shoot, shoot.
Yeah, and the thing about, the best part about your new series, Joss vs. the World, and this is like an extended ad, don't worry, we're going to start talking about Overwatch. Well, we are talking about Overwatch. My favorite part about the last two episodes, you did Heroes with Kyle, and then you did Overwatch with Dills, and I've only been able to catch the podcast, but the great part about the podcast is that you're now outside of the, you know, practice through reality, where you're actually playing these real games against real people and sort of learning on the fly. But then when you get into the podcast, you talk about tips and tricks for new players, but without that, like, we're really good at this and we're going to tell you how to do it. You know how, like, you go to IGN, or not IGN, but you go to, like, YouTube and search, okay, how do I do this? How do I play this game? I need a guide to kind of figure out how to do a specific puzzle. And sometimes it can be, like, the condescending, like, 12-year-old who's very good at video games, but he's not very good at, like,
teaching
manners, that too.
manners.
You know, manners, like being polite. And yeah. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's because we're Canadian and we just try to be nice. But if you're new to a game like Heroes or Overwatch or Smite or whatever, it's nice to not be talked down to, but to be like, you know, you kneel down and be like, okay, here's how it's going to work. We're going to do, you know, it's not even like that. It's just, you look them in the eye, you tell them the best part. And even with Overwatch, you had mentioned that you didn't just cover the heroes that you should play first, but you also cover the heroes you're going to come up against first, mm-hmm. when you're sort of ranking up. And one of those points was Tracer, not because she's easy to play, but because she's the box art. She is the
poster
premier,
child.
Exactly, the premier hero of the game. And I like, yeah, totally. That happened. Last time I played Overwatch, I went straight for Tracer because, like, cheers, love, Cavalry's here. Let's do this. And she's fun to play, but she's tough. And yeah. She dies real quick. And it can get frustrating in these multiplayer games where people you're facing have clearly played more than the two matches that you've tried in stress tests that spanned 6 months. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like starting with those entry heroes is really key, because to kind of like start yourself up, like you have a choice of what, 21?
Yes, there's 21 heroes. Yeah.
Yeah, and just looking at that and being like, okay, that's too many to kind of make a judgment call. You know, sometimes it's saying like, oh, we need more defense heroes. You look at defense and it's like, all right, I'm going to pick the coolest one because, you know, that's how we as human beings work. Yeah. We're attracted to what we're attracted to. So I'm going to pick the coolest one and the one that has the most Britishest accent and just go for it. But no, it's a really great game. I'm looking forward to getting into the open beta later on tonight. And when's it launched? Like 2 weeks from now?
The 24th, May 24th.
Okay, so, wow, is that a day off for us? I think that is. No, it's a day after.
Oh, well, it's a lame.
I guess it's a, yeah, for me, I unfortunately will have to work that day, but maybe I could, like, you know, get a little.
Work from home, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, work.
Oh, this I feel so, I should just stay home today.
This isn't recorded on the internet that anybody could listen to, no. And I haven't told, like, my superiors that I'm a podcaster. Like, don't worry about it, it's fine. You know, maybe I'll take that day off. But I am excited to get into Overwatch and play it more because just like any multiplayer game, just jumping in for a couple matches can be overbearing and really tough. What's your experience been with the open beta and even early access for that matter?
I found that early access was good, mm-hmm. probably better. I haven't actually played in open beta yet. Everything that I did was early access beta. And I found it better than the stress test weekends because there weren't a whole bunch of people who had free accounts in there, you know, like that fact that they have to pay for Overwatch. Mm-hmm. I feel like that keeps some of like, there's no smurfing going on, or like there won't be any smurfing going on, but there was on the stress test weekend. So in the actual the early access beta, it was good because that was all the people who'd purchased the game. And I found that a lot of the matchmaking was a lot better. And also because we went into matchmaking usually with, I think the most I went into matchmaking with was like 4 people. Right. And so anytime you go in with a full party, that makes it really, really difficult to actually do the matchmaking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the smaller the party, the easier it is for it to match you up with other people. So yeah.
I found that that's a really good point, in that this is a paid game and the stress tests were always like a bunch of like an influx of people, some actually having their account flagged twice or 3 times, mm-hmm. and coming in there and playing with having that 6 months of experience, but playing as if their account was 2 days old. And I'm excited for the open beta just to kind of experience it some more because I haven't been in the beta. Don't worry. I've gotten over it. And you know, played in taste there, but I'm actually really looking forward to when it launches, and the people who are playing it are the ones that put the money into it, and the servers reset and there's matchmaking and we can just enjoy it without this mm-hmm. timer in the background. Like I have a weekend to play it, but oh wait, Sunday doesn't count, you know?
Yeah.
So is that another thing? Like, are they being very super clear about how long does the open beta last? It
goes until the 9th, and I'm not 100% sure what time it actually shuts down, but they were very clear with the timing. They were like, yep, well, I guess it was 7 p.m. Eastern, so mm-hmm. 4 p.m. Pacific. But at like 7 p.m. was right when it came up. So they're being specific with the uptime anyway. I don't know about the downtime, but
well, if you're saying the 9th, then that includes Sunday. So praise the Blizzard gods. They learned that Sunday is a day that people have off and want to play video games. So I'm looking forward to finding time this weekend as well to jump back in and get mm-hmm. more time with it, because I need more time with it, because all my friends are so much better at it than I am, because they've been playing it pretty actively. And yeah, it's such a fun game. It's full of flavor and characters are just amazing in this game. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's actually one thing that Overwatch is kind of missing, especially compared to the one we're going to talk about next, which is Battleborn, is that there is no single player. So
yeah, that is unfortunate. I love single player content, you know?
I like single player content too, but it's not even just that. It's that they've created this really interesting universe with these really cool characters, and you want to know more about them, especially mm-hmm. like there seems to be like a good versus evil, but at the same time, they're all in Overwatch.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, is this before? Is this after? Like, why are Widowmaker and Tracer fighting, but then actually in-game they're on the same team? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like there's so much to this story and universe that we don't know just from playing the game, because it's literally just like you go in and it's a fighter and you have or the shooter and you have certain different, you know, objectives you have to do on every map, but there is no story in it whatsoever. And that's kind of a shame, given that they have created these really, really cool characters and all the stuff that we're seeing outside, like those little Overwatch shorts and stuff. Like, there's a huge world there, and it looks really interesting. So I feel like, and like, I hope we get something maybe akin to like the Nova missions or something in StarCraft, where it's like not main game, even if it's DLC or something, but just like some sort of single player content that would actually make it so that you can get some of these stories in game.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of single player content, and just when Blizzard announced that this was going to be, there was going to be story content, but it was not going to be within the norm of a campaign. And I feel like there was a similar game. There was a similar situation with Titanfall, in which it, in my mind, suffered a lot not having a proper single player, because it's giant mechs. You can do some really cool stuff with that and jumping in and out of them and making them explode. And I always found that single player content, even if it's just a glorified tutorial, was really awesome, because it was a tutorial. It got you used to the controls without the pressure of playing against real people. And I wonder if the Overwatch game could lose some favor from people, you know, for not having that piece of content. And I think that's a fair criticism to knock it for not having like in-game campaign content, because it's
you
a big part.
You can play against AI, although yesterday when I was trying to set up the overlay for Joss versus the World, I went in to try to play against the AI just so it didn't really matter.
Right.
And man, it takes forever for those games to launch, because there's just not enough people.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
So there is that kind of, I guess, co-op. It's not really single player, because there are six other people that queue in with you against AI, but it's against AI, so you don't have the stress of playing against real people. There's also a single player, like, shooting range, basically. So it's like a small level that you can go in and test out heroes, and there's like a whole bunch of enemies that don't really do anything, like they don't fire back at you or anything. But
I wouldn't even be opposed to them, like, when you look at Overwatch as a game and a model and what they've built there, and they've already suggested, or they've already come out and confirmed, like all stuff pertaining to multiplayer will be free as an update. And we don't know how they're going to support that. You know, it'd be really great is if they did like little vignettes, like $15 for this Tracer vignette, where you go in, you play as Tracer. Mm-hmm. There's some cutscenes, there's some dialogue. It doesn't have to be fancy. It would remind me of like the old Half-Life games, like Half-Life 2 and those episodes, where you could have this Tracer story told in a video game. Gladly pay $15 for like a 3-part miniseries that is set within the Overwatch world, where you're playing as these characters, and impossible. I mean, maybe it's something Blizzard is considering. I would certainly hope so. But just the way that Overwatch and other Blizzard games are sort of being marketed as a platform that exists longer than just the initial launch, because most times, like with Titanfall, when Titanfall launched, it's like, well, there's no single player, but it's proving itself as a new IP, and they had a limited budget, and they were, you know, first game out on their own. The sequel will probably have single player, and we got that announcement. Titanfall 2 will have single player. So that's what worries me, is that there probably won't be an Overwatch 2 for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have to hold out hope that maybe if we, you know, speak loud enough, Blizzard will experiment with some single player content for Overwatch. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, the flip side of that is that because there is no single player, they were able to focus strictly on just Overwatch. So a lot of the balance issues and stuff that we had early on, pretty much, I think everything's been, it's been balanced quite well now, I think. So there's like, they've really focused on the multiplayer and making it esport viable and all the spectator mode stuff and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, like, it is pretty much perfect from a multiplayer perspective. It's just, it's lacking that single player content. Yeah. So, the title that we mentioned that's kind of like Overwatch, but actually has some single player is Battleborn. So this is something that we actually got to play on game night. Was it not last game night, but the game night before?
Yeah, it was a few weeks back. Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't actually discuss it on the show. And so I figured since Battleborn actually launched, it would be a good thing for us to talk about. I freaking loved it. I had so much fun playing with you guys. I got to play a dude who was practically a mushroom.
Yes, you were the Mushroom King, and it was pretty fantastic. And that's one of the, like, it was a, we essentially played the full game. Like we played the game that was releasing 2 weeks later. Like, let's be honest. It was a beta for probably a stress test reasons. And what we played of it as a group, just like Borderlands, it was fun, you know? I could see myself having an issue playing it by myself and kind of it being a little more stale, but playing that intro mission with the four of us, like, essentially, I think we had a full party, or maybe we were missing one person.
I think we might have been missing one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was like one of those games where you just sit back, relax, have a drink, and shoot some robots or whatever the hell we were shooting.
Yeah, and we had a couple of big boss battles, which were really fun, and humor that was incorporated, yes, I would say, is on par with Overwatch, if not better.
Yeah, it's still,
it's kind of like Borderlands-y, I guess.
Yeah, it's silly, but not as immature as Borderlands.
Yes,
so for those people who really like the immature humor, and I'm not judging, I thought it was funny, but there were moments where it was a little too far in that direction. And I feel like Battleborn's, like, you know, pulled back a little bit. It's still immature humor, but it's not like poop and fart jokes.
Yeah.
Although they do slip those in occasionally, from what I remember.
There were a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, but I know that can probably rub people the wrong way. I've you know, seen some people talking about Battleborn and, like, saying it's not funny. It's like, well, I think it's funny. I think it's quite funny. And even more funny when you're with your friends and you're all laughing at the same time. I think we all kind of, you know, have the same sense of humor when it comes to this stuff. And, man, not just the single player, but the multiplayer we played, I was pleasantly surprised. I don't often enjoy online video games, and when one kind of piques my interest, like Battleborn, that's kind of exciting, really. So I can't remember, we played all the different modes that were available in the beta, but it was very MOBA like where you're progressing through the map,
there's,
and there's creep
and spawning and all that kind of stuff.
It was really neat, and I don't know, we had a full party at that point, and we had Kalani on our team, and he was kicking butt and taking names, so that was good. So we just, like, followed his lead, and Jimmy was with us, and he was doing fantastic, and I think you were the Mushroom King, and I can't remember what I played as.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really fun to get in there with a group of friends, and actually, I've got to say, as much as I love Overwatch, I actually think that Battleborn might be the better game because you're getting more content and you have the ability to choose things. Like Overwatch, you literally just queue in with Quick Match or Quick Play or whatever it's called, and you can't even choose, like, I want to play on a control map. Like, it's totally random all the time of whatever you're doing, because there's four different map types in Overwatch, and it's just random whatever you get. Like, when we were filming Joss versus the World yesterday, I think we did Control like 3 or 4 times in a row, and it's an okay game mode, but it's definitely not my favorite. Yeah. I like the taking the 2 points game mode, the assault game mode. That's kind of like King of the Hill. Mm-hmm. So, or no, I guess Control is King of the Hill. Assault is, yeah, Capture the Flag.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and when you compare the two, I think that's the beauty of it, is that they are very different games. I feel like Overwatch is this polished point A to point B type of multiplayer game where the heroes are where it shines, and sort of the skill of swapping heroes here and there. And then when you look at Battleborn, it's just about having fun. You know, you're mm-hmm. having fun, you're just experimenting, you're doing crazy shit, and when you get sick and tired of playing people who are really good at the game, you can stop and say, okay, I'm gonna take my friends and we're gonna go home, we're gonna take this ball back to our own private server and play some single player content. And it's like Borderlands, but they cut out like a lot of the extra fluff that I wasn't really into, like the guns and stuff. I much prefer the hero kit as opposed to finding the bajillionth gun that just has fire damage. I mean, don't get me wrong, loot games are awesome, but it's nice when you just only have to worry about what your hero is doing and what damage you're choosing. And man, that the ability to just hit, like, I think it was one of the keys on the keyboard, whenever you leveled up, you just hit a button, you hold a button down, the tree like pops up in front of you and you have 2 choices, mm-hmm. and you're not limited to the tree or whichever you start on. You just kind of like choose, do I power up this one or do I power up this one?
Mm-hmm. And it was simple without being oversimplified.
Well, the whole point is that in mid combat, if you're even if you're trying a new hero or you've played them for the 100th time, you're hitting that button and you're making a snap judgment. It's 2 buttons to level up, as opposed to pausing the game, opening up the screen, choosing your do I want that tree or do I want to branch it? You know, it's fast paced and it's so much fun. And like Borderlands, they've got a whole smattering of DLC plans. So if you get into it, you know there's going to be tons of content for at least the next year.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, like I really do think that Battleborn is the better game. But I find that a lot of these games kind of suffer from the fact that Blizzard is just so freaking big. Like, it's really difficult for another MMO to come out or another card game to come out because Blizzard and Warcraft and Hearthstone, they're just so big. So I feel like Battleborn is suffering from that a little bit because basically if you want to play, it's more fun to play with friends. And where are all your friends? All your friends are in Overwatch. So I don't think that Overwatch is the better game. I think Battleborn is the better game because there's more to do and it's more fun. Sure. But yeah, like all of my friends are in Overwatch, which kind of makes Overwatch win by default, which is kind of crappy.
Well, and the thing is, and I've seen this pointed out before, and it's kind of weird to look at, but every time they've done this invitation flood for Overwatch, it's somehow related to what Battleborn's doing, and it's kind of like super dick move on the marketing team's standpoint where they're doing an open beta for Overwatch the day that Battleborn launches. And I mean, whatever, it's competition and it's good, but it's like you couldn't have just moved it a day and let Battleborn like have it, like
have one day.
Yeah, I've never really thought of Blizzard as that kind of like, I know they like to do their own thing, but that's kind of cold and calculated when you look at it. And you know, I'm not gonna like, you know, get angry at Blizzard. I'm sure Gearbox was disappointed. And I mean, I can be disappointed in a company for doing what is clearly a kind of a dick move. because, you know, they didn't need to do it on the same day. Poor Battleborn. And you're right. I mean, I don't know if it's the better game because I haven't played enough of either of them. But if you're one of those gamers who, when reading a review, you need sort of the pros and cons, and you look at Overwatch and you look at Battleborn, you know, especially for me who has limited time to play without the pause button, you kind of look at Battleborn, it's like, well, that's got more for me because I can jump in, do single player, jump out. And that's a big deal for me because I love single player content. Mm-hmm. And the day that Overwatch gets like single player content announced for it is the day that I'm all over that stuff. But until then, it's going to be a nice little game to jump in and out of, similar to Heroes and Diablo. When other friends are playing, I will be there and I will play that game and have a blast.
Yeah, but, Yukao in the chat room is basically saying the same thing. Like, it totally worked on him because he forgot the Battleborn even launched because Overwatch open beta is just so, that's what everyone is talking about right now, is, you know, it's just all over the place. Like, oh, who's in Overwatch? I'm playing Overwatch. Who wants parties? You know, like, and I look at my friends list on Battle.net and it's just like, everybody's in Overwatch. So I'm just kind of like, and Jim's saying the same thing, you know, like, it's really, really hard to compete on equal footing when Blizzard just automatically has millions of players from the second they launch the game. Mm-hmm. Whether it has staying power is another thing entirely, but, like, it's so hard to justify putting resources into a game if you're a company to then just go like, oh, well, you know, we have 100,000 people playing. Yay. Yeah. You know, where Blizzard can be like, well, shit, yeah, let's try this because we're going to have, you know, 2 million people try it day one anyway. Like, people are literally fighting over our beta codes. Like,
well, yeah, it's when you look at Overwatch and you look at, you know, even like my limited time to play online games with my friends, I kind of have to pick and choose because there's a new one out every week where I could convince, like, you know, you and other gaming friends to be like, let's all pick up this game and have some fun with it this weekend. And that's worth the $60 price of admission. But when it comes right down to it, it's like, okay, do I just pick up Overwatch? And then when you guys are playing Battleborn, I kind of just, you know, try not to feel bad because I don't have enough time to play it. Yeah. And I mean, but that's the beauty of it, is that these games, we sort of exist in this time where it's like a golden field of awesomeness. Like, you can pick and choose what you want to play, and you can come back to it too. Just because you don't play something the day it launches doesn't mean you think it's a terrible game. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the other thing. I don't think there are actually reviews out for Battleborn yet because they didn't send out copies before it actually officially launched. More so due to the servers, I believe, than anything else. So maybe next week we'll have more reviews for it. But have you picked up Battleborn? Because we're strictly talking about our experience when we played the beta.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't picked up Battleborn because it's just too much money. There's, like, obviously I already purchased Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Uncharted 4 coming out. And then I feel like there was one other thing coming out this month. But it's a really heavy month for games.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, Doom is coming out. Not that that's one that I'm going to pick up. But I feel like there was something right at the end of the month as well.
Yeah. I'm getting that sense, too. Doom, Battleborn, Uncharted, and Overwatch. I think those were the big four.
Oh yeah, maybe that's the four I'm thinking of. So, but yeah, I was really thinking of getting everything except for Doom, and then I'm just like, oh, it's just so hard to spend that kind of money all in one month. So I had to make a choice, and unfortunately Battleborn doesn't make the cut. And it is really, really unfortunate because I think it's going to be a great game. From our experience in the beta, it was so fun. Mm. I feel like Battleborn is just going to become basically like Smite. You know, there's a really small community that are really passionate about it, and hopefully one day everybody else realizes how much fun it is, you know.
Yeah. And you know, like Jim is saying, he expects to buy it eventually, and I kind of agree with him. Like, maybe once there's that first sale, like even knocking like 15% off it or something, like,
I think it's $80, isn't it?
It is $80
here, yeah.
And
that's the other thing too, Overwatch is cheaper.
Yes.
So we're not talking on, like, price point wise, they're not the same. Battleborn is much more expensive than Overwatch is, but I think it's justified. But
I mean, really, it's tough. Like, you're limited by time and you're limited by funds. And when it comes right down to it, May is always this
first
busy.
I thought you said funds. Oh. I don't know how many funds I'm going to have, guys.
Yeah,
so
I can only have so much fun, and my card, I already got it, like, stamped 5 times, and if I don't validate my fun this month, I have to pay, like, an extra $60.
So there you go.
But no, you look at June, and June's fairly sparse, and, you know, July through the summer, it's going to be crazy not busy this summer. Like, Nintendo's got nothing. I don't think there's anything coming out for PlayStation or Xbox that I know of. So unless someone comes out and announces, like, just this amazing lineup of games for the summer, Battleborn is probably going to be one of those things that that we just come to when we get a quiet month, like June or July. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Overwatch is such this big thing that it's hard to think past that, especially with Overwatch and Uncharted 4 in the same month. I'm probably forgetting about some titles coming out this summer, but as far as I know, like, May just turns into September, and that's when the games start coming out again. Yeah. So, then there's E3 in June, and I'm sure there'll be some stuff there, but Yeah, I'm going to come back to Battleborn, I think. Although we did make Mew Cow just purchase it, so maybe we'll have to bite the bullet or else you'll be angry.
Yeah, exactly. So we just want to remind everybody that if you want all of your favorite A-Move stuff on glasses, you can go to bit.ly.com/A-Move store. We've got pint glasses, wine glasses, all kinds of stuff, and you can get the A-Move logo, you can get the TGI logo, TAC and ITN, they're all over on the site. Mm-hmm. So again, that is bit.ly/A-Move store. So that brings us to our topic of the week this week. And so basically, we're going to talk a little bit about reviews, review scores, and the idea of how upset people seem to get over said review scores. So this is all kind of, I guess, started with the Uncharted 4 review that was put up on IGN.
Right.
And the reviewer, Lucy O'Brien, gave Uncharted 4 an 8.8.
Fantastic score. What are we even here for? That's amazing score.
Yeah. So she gave it an 8.8.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet exploded. So basically, they're saying that she's a terrible reviewer, that if she doesn't give it a 9 or higher, then she's lying. They're saying things like having a female hero as the playable character is worth 0.5 of a mark because she gave Tomb Raider a 9.3.
Mm-hmm.
And so can we just get rid of scores already? Like, why or what do the points even mean? Like 8.8, 9.3, like, can't we just average them to 9? Like, all of this seems so ridiculous to me. Well,
there's a website for that. It's called Metacritic, and it's currently sitting at a 94. And I mean, if we really want to get down and dirty when it comes to numbers, like, oh, who cares? Like, at the end of the day, if there's a game you really like, you're going to read the review. You might look at the number to get a bird's eye view of what you're going to read. But when I see an 8.8, it's like, I don't need to read that review. That's like, I also don't need to validate my purchase. But I really think I look at that number and I'm like, this person really enjoyed this game and I trust this reviewer. And I'm not going to read the review because I don't want to kind of spoil my experience. So knowing it's an 8.8, I'm like, okay, perfect. I think I'm going to have a great time. And I walk away and I don't read the comments. you know, but for some reason, there are these people who see this score who have not played the game. Maybe, just maybe, they played a snippet of gameplay at a preview event, but that's even unlikely. and they are just toasting, like, just going in there and just lighting everything on fire.
Yeah.
You know, for just unfortunate reasons. It just makes zero sense to me.
I don't understand people getting upset at review scores before they've even played the game. Like, that seems a little bit nuts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole situation, I like at the point now that I'm like, I don't even 100% know what to say about this. Like,
yeah, I mean, the internet, for some, when we say the internet, we're literally lumping everybody in who use the internet. Let's just call them what they are. They're idiots who have nothing better to do than just go off on this person who's doing her job. She's doing her job. And you can't even, you look at this and it's like, what would have happened if, and for some reason, it's the female reviewers who get the worst flack. We want this industry to be have gender equality. Yet for some reason, whenever a female reviewer comes by or a female writer comes by, we just have to, like, you know, salt the earth. I don't understand all the ways
that they're wrong.
Yeah. And you know what? She's not wrong. I went through the review and I just kind of scanned it because I don't not want to spoil the game, but I did want to see what the big hubbub was. So I read the review.
It's a positive review. An 8.8 is a good score.
Yeah. And her main complaints were, and not even complaints, but criticisms were that the game had a very expanded third act. It kind of dragged. And you know what? That'd be a criticism I would lay on every Uncharted game. They just feel too long for what they are. And it's usually the third act that's failing. It's almost like they build this great first two acts and they have a great ending, but they don't want it to be a 10-hour game. They want it to be a 15-hour game. So they kind of...
They stretch it.
Stretch it. They put some stuff in there. It doesn't make it a terrible game. It just makes you notice that this game isn't perfect, so here are the problems.
Well, I think that that's another thing, and I've talked about it before with, I think it was Skyward Sword, they got 10 out of 10, when, I mean, that game is crap, like, and I don't think that 10 out of 10 games should even exist, like, there's no such thing as a perfect video game, whether it's control issues or story issues or graphics issues or whatever, like, every single game has issues, because developers have to cut corners to get things out on time and to not spend millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be something where they're just like, okay, we can do thing A or thing B. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're deciding to let thing A slip a little because we want, you know, our games are normally known for ridiculously good graphics. So we're going to let our story slip a little bit because, you know, we want to spend all of our time and money and effort in making amazing graphics.
Yeah. And
those compromises they happen in every game all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that like the 10 out of 10 games shouldn't exist. And I don't even know if we should have scores on games at all. I would much rather see like a buy rent pass score.
Well, just a recommendation system. Like I've professionally reviewed two games in for the Gamers Inn, you know, and the way I did it, I don't like assigning scores because scores are hard to assign because you can have a set scale, right? And IGN, you can look it up. IGN, every site that uses a number scale has a set scale of what those numbers mean. And that's, and the reviewer and the editor of that reviewer kind of assign a number based on that reviewer's opinion. So again, like you might have be of the opinion that there's no perfect game, therefore you wouldn't assign a 10, but there might be some people who say, well, it's not a perfect game, but to me, it deserves the 10 out of 10 because it is it's a near flawless experience in their opinion. So it's a huge sliding scale. And the problem with sliding scales is that not everyone will agree, you know, and that's the big issue with assigning numbers, because numbers are supposed to be finite. They're supposed to be, at least to the entire populace, like a number is finite. When you look at that, five is five is five, right? And when you start assigning value to those numbers, when talking about your opinion, it can kind of get weird. And I think that's what's happened here, is that basically this person, Lucy, has given Uncharted 4 an 8.8, and that's her opinion. And the internet's like, well, it's Uncharted 4, I've never played it, it's supposed to be perfect, so it should get a higher score. And they start comparing it to other games of similar genre, and it's like, why are we doing this? You know, like if she hadn't, I keep saying she, but it's not even her fault. If IGN didn't have a number to attach to reviews, then this wouldn't be an issue because the review read very well. And at the end of the day, it's like, highly recommended, except be aware that there are these issues, and that's it. And that's how I usually read reviews.
Yeah, that's the kind of information. Like, I wish we just saw, like, a blurb at the top that says, known issues, this. High points, this. Recommend, yes or no. Yeah. Like, easy peasy, no numbers, so people can't get bogged down in literally a 0.5 score difference. Because I think if you looked at a review of Tomb Raider that said, like, these are the good things, these are the bad things, I recommend it, and then compared that to a review of Uncharted 4 the same way. These are the good things, these are the bad things, and I recommend it. You can't get upset about that.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate when people get upset. And the way I look at reviews, when I am at a point where I'm like, I'm not sure about this game, like Star Fox Zero. I was not really sure how it was. I didn't get a chance to review it. So I was like, I don't know. I'm going to read reviews. And I read, you know, IGN, Giant Bomb, and even Polygon's just like rage quit of a review where they just refuse to even touch it, or sorry, finish it and review it, which is totally valid. You're allowed to do that as a reviewer. And it was like, okay, I'm making a conscious decision based on these opinions that I am not going to like this game, or at least for the value and the time I have and the other games coming out during that month. And that's how I make my decision. I often don't even look at the number. Like, I read the review, which is why they spend weeks writing these things. They don't spend weeks writing these things and playing these games and rushing through them for your benefit and to assign some stupid score to it. They do it because they love video games. Mm-hmm. And you worry, right? Like I've been reading Lucy's Twitter before we went live, and luckily she's she's taking it very well, although it's got to be, I don't even want to look at her mentions because it's probably just filth.
Yeah, I did.
You did? Okay. So any highlights?
It's pretty terrible. It's pretty terrible.
You know, she's got a pinned tweet right now, and someone had said, "It is absurd and unfair way to troll a female critic, but could you address the controversy rather than be glib about it?" And she says, "Okay, here I am professionally stating that I did not score Uncharted 4 lower than Tomb Raider because the lead has a penis." Why video games? Why are we stuck in this weird thing? You know, like, movies don't deal with this anymore. TV doesn't deal with this anymore. I mean, maybe on smaller scales, but when it comes to video games, just where are these people's parents and why aren't they hitting their children? Like, this is
what?
You know what I mean? Like, punishing them, like spanking. Come on. That's a thing. Isn't it?
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, making their kids sort of responsible for what they're doing. And if it is adults, like, wow, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. You know?
And you people know, you guys know what I mean, you people.
You
people know what I mean in terms of hitting their kids. Just like, you know, kind of smarten up. Not like bad, but I'm dig up, stupid. But no, I just look at this. I didn't even know this was going on until you mentioned it, because this is really the only thing we could find to talk about. But
yeah,
this is the unfortunate thing about the internet and being out there for everybody is that... yeah, it's just you get all this shit. Everyone's catching up. Oh, great. Someone added a quote. That's perfect. I'm glad we're streaming on Joss Plays.
That's really funny.
Can we delete that one, maybe?
All right. So we wanted to remind everyone that our game night is actually tonight, right after we stop the show. We are going to be playing Overwatch, and anyone who is a $2 a week or higher patron is going to get priority invites. We mentioned this to you guys because we want to make sure the game night keeps being a thing. We want to make sure that we get to our next goal, which is doing Inside the Game. And yeah, so please go over and support us at patreon.com/thegamersin. It unlocks more content, more time with us, more fun things. And like we mentioned, the $2 plus patrons get priority invites every week on game night. So in order to play with us on game night, you do need to be connected to our Discord server, and all the info about the Discord server is over at patreon.com/thegamersin. That's going to do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. Also, Joss versus the World now is also over on Amove.
There's so much stuff going on. Then embrace the spoilers.
Yes. Embrace the spoilers. I always keep forgetting to talk about that. Embrace the Spoilers is a show that Garrett and I are doing every Monday, talking about the previous week's Game of Thrones. So there's one episode out so far that we did both episode one and episode two. And then episode three, I think we might actually be recording a day late because Garrett is actually a DreamHack. So...
Right.
Yes, but Embrace the Spoilers is all about Game of Thrones for the next 9 weeks. So make sure you guys find that on iTunes and go give it a sub. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Overwatch versus Battleborn or about review scores, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you in a few minutes.
Ooh.